The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor May, good afternoon. This is Man in Line on Manx Radio, your chance to have your say. Public access radio, 5 days a week from midday through till one. Call 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. The big story from the UK is that the Housing Secretary, Angela Rayner, has resigned her position to spend more time with her flat in Hove. A further update on that after the Manx news at 1 o'clock. In the meantime, you're on the air. Whatever's on your mind, we'll be talking about all sorts of stuff this week, including trimming your hedges and trees. Lozère commissioners said the Department of Infrastructure is passing the task of cutting back trees and hedges on main roads to the parish and to property owners. The local authority, Lozère commissioners, has also concerns that it's going to be contracted to cut trees and hedges over 2 metres, which used to be carried out by the DOI, and that they'd have to charge residents for this. Well, this has always excited lots and lots of comment on Man in Line as to who is responsible, when are they responsible, and what happens if they don't do it. If you live somewhere where somebody has overhanging hedges or trees, has anybody mentioned it to them in your area, or do you just wait until something falls over? What do we do about this? Text, email, call and WhatsApp, whatever's on your mind. Also this week, heavens, we were talking about the state of those wonderful cottages at Cornet. Andrew called yesterday to say that some brats had been to Cornet over the weekend and broken all the windows, because that's what they felt their contribution to society was. Dee said, to add to the contributors' comments about the sad state of those wonderful cottages at Cornet, I can say there's absolutely no point in asking the police to do anything. I have friends whose car windscreen was smashed over the weekend. This left them unable to get out and made worse when one of their parents was taken seriously ill and they had to get a taxi to hospital. So what's wrong with this situation? The cameras caught the culprits, but the police can do nothing because they're under the age of 10. I also learned that over the incident that there's no right of prosecution for trespass on the Isle of Man. Is that right? No parent accountability? I think it's wrong, says Dee. What the gentleman has reported is unfortunately rampant now on the Isle of Man. Nothing to do and nothing can be done, apparently, says Dee. Well, it's cold comfort, but the school's back now. So if those children are of school age, they have a lot less energy to expend. But it is something that we have to address on the Isle of Man. It is, and it's something we talk about all the time on the Isle of Man, which is bad behaviour by citizens, isn't it? Whether it's leaving litter, whether it's throwing vapes around, throwing syringes on Port Erin Beach, whether it's bad driving, inconsiderate driving, whether it's those noisy exhausts, whatever it is, we have to do something about it. How do we do it? Who do we address? Is it the police's responsibility to do everything, or is this a little closer to home? We were at the beach, and I think it's been more than the weekend that those windows were smashed. A mindless act in my eyes, says Gary. Well, any thoughts on this matter? Oh, and the background to cutting the trees, by the way, is the chair of Lozère Commission. This is Carl Brew. And he says it's interesting that the government's chosen to change the scheme now and it hasn't been given a reason for it. Carl Brew.
I don't think it's that DOI asking the commissioners to actually do any tree cutting above 2 metres. I'm getting the impression it's DOI actually asking landowners to take care of the hedges to a certain height or a certain level to protect or stop things being damaged on the main archery routes. Traditionally, it's always seemed to be DOI were doing that. And it's interesting now why the change. However, as Lozère commissioners, we've always been responsible for the hedges off the main roads, and anything above 2 metres, let's say, where the flail or the trimmer couldn't get, we'd always ask DIY to make that cut. So it'd be interesting to know, is that something that DIY now wants us to do and follow suit with them to sort of seek landowners to recover the cost for doing it? So it'll be very interesting to see how that works out for DIY in the future.
And what kind of tree and hedge maintenance do you guys do in the parish already? And how would that follow with your current scheme?
We are sort of stuck really to make sure we trim the hedges before nesting season. And obviously we've then got to wait between March and September before we can do any more cutting again. We will cut hedges obviously for road safety purposes or where pavements are. So we will always do our best to keep the hedges tidy, but also protect the wildlife, as we were always asked to do many years ago.
Are you worried that this is maybe something coming out of the local government bill, or something that might be being sprung on you as something wider from the government?
I think we're in a situation we just have to wait and see. It's something that's been announced. It's something that DIY apparently want to do. What was on the back of it? Was it because there's some buses being damaged, and therefore it's like a reaction, when traditionally it's always been a DIY to make those repairs, make those cuts.
Carl Brew is chair of Lozère Commissioners, talking about the changes that tree and hedge cutting rules are applicable in the parish. DOI has been contacted for comment. If you have an overhanging tree, you could be served with a 14-day notice by the DOI to cut it back. I just wonder how bad the overhanging trees and hedges are where you are. What would you like to see done about the issue? Do you think the DOI should be responsible for trees and hedges, or the local authority, and particularly the trees and hedges that overhang road signs? Any thoughts? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. And here's Dave. It's Patrick, I think, with us. Hi, Patrick.
Good afternoon. I just want to comment that, you know, the youth clubs on the Isle of Man and the likes of boxing and football and all them, it would be nice if they were invited to the schools to have a chat with the boys and the girls, give them some encouragement to do things which are not silly. I mean, the boxing club, for example, if you invited Peter Roberts up or any of the members of the team down there, they would come up and discuss things about boxing that would help the kids get rid of some of their anger.
Yeah. At what age, Patrick?
Well, I've just packed in the boxing now. I've just retired, but we were doing it from five. We had 42 down one night, from 5-year-old upwards.
Right.
So to me, it's a way of putting a bit of discipline into the kids, and they also enjoy themselves as well. So instead of taking their anger on the, on the parents or on anything else, if the parents encourage them to come. But the school should be encouraging kids to take up sport, like boxing, judo, karate, whatever it is. Why don't the schools invite the head teachers, invite the boxing club or the judo club, to give a little talk on the sport so the kids can come along?
Yeah, Patrick, just tell me this then. What about parents who would say boxing, judo, martial arts is encouraging children to be aggressive?
Totally rubbish, because I've had loads of kids down the boxing club and they enjoy themselves. They can't wait to come back the next day. When we do the exercise at the end of the session, they're putting their hand up to do the first exercise or the second exercise. They burn off energy. The parents have an hour's break down the boxing club. It's only £2 for the kids, you know. I mean, it's ridiculous. The school should encourage this, not tell kids off for doing wrong. Bring the boxing club coaches up, bring the judo coaches up. Everybody who's involved in sport should be invited to the schools, and they can encourage them, the pupils, to do the things. Even if it's just part-time, you know, they're never going to make a boxer. Most of the boxers down there never make boxers, but they enjoy what they do.
Well, it will be interesting to know. So at the moment you say that the schools, or maybe the department, doesn't encourage athletics clubs to get involved with the schools.
Exactly. That's the top one. It's like they're competing for the kids. In other words, it's not a competitive thing. It's to encourage kids to do sport. I mean, I do a bit of snooker coaching as well. There's nobody does it much now, the snooker, because they're too busy on their phones. But if you encourage kids to if the schools encourage it to, for outside sport to come along and give lectures and things like that, it would work. It would work. I'm sure it would.
Good. Okay. Appreciate that, Patrick. We'll ask the department and see what happens. Thanks for calling today.
Bye now. Bye-bye.
Right, 16 minutes past 12, and Eddie's with us now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Andy. I know it's a common sense sort of a solution to a problem, but I cast my mind back to when I was a kid, and a lot of big families in them days. I'm from eight. But I can always remember my parents saying to me, go out and play, enjoy yourselves, but if you dare come home with the police, you'll be for it. And you did pay for it. Your parents were allowed to either discipline in you lots and lots of different ways in them, but there are ways of disciplining your kids, which takes me to the point, I always thought that if your parents were and it's witnessed and there's evidence that they did any criminal damage, then the parents would have to pay, because they are the guardians of the kids until they are, is it 16 or 18 now? I don't know. What do you, you know, is, do you,
I
know
mean,
that?
Yeah, is it 16? No, I think, it's it? I think it's 16, depends whether the child leaves home. But I mean,
but that alone, Andy, is a deterrent. If I know there's an awful lot of good parents out there, but there's also quite a lot of parents who just send the kids out every day these days and don't really care. But they should be liable. All parents should be liable.
But what happens? What happens, Eddie, if you've got parents who don't give a tuppenny toss?
Well, then they get charged for not paying the fines, and it as long as the law is applied, and it will snowball. I mean, when your kids go out in the morning, if you know that they could bring you home a massive bill, you're going to give them a warning every morning. It's common sense, you know. You're going to say to them, don't get into any trouble, otherwise you're for it. But I don't think a lot of people say that to the kids when they go out. You know, so it's just something like a lot of things these days that have been neglected and just taken for granted. And then when trouble happens, the poor kids get, all the kids, they all get tired of the same brush. They're not all like that. If you teach your kids how to respect everything that's going in front of them and enjoy the summer holidays, behind me, I had a brilliant time, but I can remember making an odd mistake and I got reprimanded for it. You know, no problem.
So you reckon parental responsibility or guardian responsibility?
Yeah, if they're under 16, I heard you say that they're under 16, 10, is it, or something like that. Well, the parents should be fined for the damage they've done. And then, lo and behold, them kids will learn a damn good lesson not to do that again. But if they get away with it at the moment, they won't care whether it happens again.
Okay. All right.
You know, it's logic.
Eddie,
logic.
We appreciate it. But how long ago was it that you were a child then, Eddie?
A long, long time. I'm 76 now. So a few years, mate, and in a good area, and all. Davy Hume, Ermston, I think you know that,
yeah, do you? Yeah, I do, yeah. All right, thanks for calling.
Brilliant area.
All right, good to hear from you. Have a good weekend. 20 past 12 now. There's a conifer hedge near me that's halfway across the pavement. It hasn't been cut for 15 years. Commissioners have done nothing, 753, but you don't tell me whereabouts it is. Isn't the hedgerow and tree fiasco down to a previous DOI minister? He and the department knew full well that local authorities didn't have the manpower or budget to carry out any maintenance. Also, DOI say to cut away branches, but DEFA threaten the public with fines if they cut them back. Who was the previous minister? 762. Who exactly was it? How about target therapy, setting up mercury the tent during the TT to massage our MHK's egos? Have you heard that? Well, they got away with it, didn't they? I think it was David North, MHK, who moved responsibility for maintaining vergers and gutters to local authorities. So it seems some confusion about who does was. Was it Mr. North or was it? Possibly it might have been Mr. Gorn. You never know. But who moved the responsibility for maintaining vergers and gutters to local authorities? Let's get back to the phones now. And David's with us now. Hi, David.
You put a lot of subjects out there. Definitely was Mr. Gawn. Don't forget, local authorities have a contract with the DOI, whoever the DOI minister is at the time, or the department, and it's a contract with them, a binding contract, which says every year that must be discussed with the DOI and the local authority. I have one of these people that keeps saying privately that the government now are putting stuff directly onto local authorities, making the ratepayers pay all the time. But we still have, and people can research it, the High Hedge and Tree Act, but it's a piece of legislation which says you don't get anywhere if it's shielding daylight into your property, or it's shadowed to a kitchen or a lounge or whatever. But those things are very, they're hardly ever used. And don't be blaming the local authorities, if I could say that out there too, is they do, they can enforce certain stuff, but at the end of the day, who pays? At the end of the day, they can serve a notice, a statutory notice, give them a warning. If they don't comply with that warning, they have so many. I must get one of them again, and could tell you the actual number of days. They give you 20 days or 30 days to get it done. They can actually go in, and then they will have the power then to do the work if it needs doing, and then they can bill the tenant or the landlord for the property. But you look at the DOI itself. Look at the number of signs which are covered up with brambles there, thistles and all sorts of stuff. You can't hardly see some of the road signs.
Do you think they've only done this because one of those buses got clouted by a branch?
Yeah, and that's a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. As Howard said some time ago, I remember the bus with no roof on it, and it used to go round trimming all the trees. If it's a statutory bus route, why shouldn't the DOI be doing it? Can people afford? I mean, I don't know how much it would cost to take a tree down now. It's probably about £1,000. And normally insurance wouldn't cover it. But Andy, I just want to flip on, if I can, to Cura, if I can.
Yeah, by all means.
Which is, this they're out for consultation. And I want people to realise it's about competition. And as far as I'm concerned, anti-competitive contracts. That's when government or other organisations get involved in something. Like, I'll give you a quick example, and that would be actually buses. When they lost the Tours, and they don't they don't exist anymore. I think somebody bought Tours out, and you guys bought them out.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
When they had the contract to schools, and they had the contract for the hospitals and stuff like that, and then they were done by government departments. And to me, that's an anti-competitive practice, because you're using taxpayers' resources to fund wages, national insurance contributions, all sorts of things, fueling vehicles, where if it was Andy Wint's taxi service, you couldn't compete with that. So I hope that people are listening out there who are concerned about stuff like this and fill the consultation in. It doesn't require it to be done till about October.
Yeah.
But I hope people actually do it, and that will give you a quick synopsis of what's going on. And the final thing is, I just wonder if our friend from was talking about the football the other day there. I went to try and get a paper but couldn't get one. So if he sends you, Andy, a copy of that, or scans it, or he can, he maybe drop you one in paper form. Or if not, if he gives me a ring, I'll try and get up and get it off him.
Okay.
Because I want to research that regarding the crumb. And it's definitely crumb down at the bowl. And it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's the only one.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
See you at the weekend. Bye.
Cheers. Now, 26 minutes past 12. Yes, this is this consultation on the new competition strategy, which has been launched by the Communications and Utilities Regulatory Authority, CURA, on the Isle of Man. It used to be the old Communications Commission. Now it's CURA. And it's basically consulting on how it's going to implement the Competition Act 2021, which updated the Isle of Man's framework in line with EU and UK law. Four main objectives: building a strong regulatory framework network monitoring key sectors like energy, health and critical infrastructure, supporting pro-competition policy and enforcing the competition law effectively. Now, if you want to click through to the actual consultation, you can just go to maxradio.com, click on news. We ran the news story, I think it was last Saturday, the 30th of August. So if you go to the headline that says Cura launches consultation on new competition strategy, there's a link through to the consultation at the bottom of that. Just going back to Angela Rayner, this goes on and on and on. She stepped down as Deputy UK Prime Minister and has thanked the Prime Minister for his support and deeply regrets her decision not to seek additional specialist advice. I bet she does. Right, text, email, call, WhatsApp, whatever's on your mind. Let's get back to the phones. And I think, let's see, we've got Juan with us now. Hello, Juan.
How are you, Andy? Listen, I hope you're keeping your hedge and bush well trimmed.
Indeed. I'm out with the loppers very frequently.
I've been told you've been out with your loppers quite frequently. The neighbours have told me. What's this yesterday? Migrant cats? Portuguese cats?
Cypriot cats.
Well, are they coming in dinghies? They've got free chips and free accommodation. I tell you what, hey? I mean, what is wrong with Manx pussy cats,
well,
Andy?
No,
I
well,
don't know.
Well, Cypriot moggies are very high quality, I'm told.
More higher quality than Manx pussycats. Just quickly touching on what Paddy was saying there. Patrick was on before. Yeah, we actually did taster days in Ramsey Grammar School actually for boxing. We have linked up with the schools in the past. The last 2 years we've done.
What's the thinking then? Why isn't this commonplace? Why don't the education authorities have athletics clubs in to get young people into? I mean, some children aren't into physical sport and what have you, but some are, and it will be useful, surely, for them to know how to get into sports clubs.
Yeah, and like I say, we have done the summer programs with the NSC in the past with different other sports where people sign up for the summer program, they put their kids in, and then they have tasters with all the different sports during that day. So they get to go around and do like an hour of each sport and get a taster for it. And we linked up with Ramsey Grammar School. This is the Northern Boxing Club down in Ramsey. We linked up with the Ramsey Grammar School for the last 2 years doing that. And we get about 150 to 200 kids during the course of the day,
yeah,
in groups of 30 coming through, and you know, sometimes we'll get some kids joining the club from that. So yeah, there is something there.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the kind of attrition rate? How many drop out?
There's quite a few. But like Patrick said, Patrick's a great guy. He's been a great help with boxing over the years. I mean, I introduced him back to boxing when the Commonwealth Youth Games was on. We were chatting down there. And we need people like him to help out within the sport, which is great. And like every sport, some kids will take to it and others won't. But I'm always very keen on looking at the aspect of the younger kids and their concentration levels these days compared, yeah, to what they were. And I'm not very quick at trying to label kids. Everyone seems to want to label kids these days, put a badge on them, you know, ADHD, spectrum, autism. I'm not a great lover of that. I like to work with kids individually. I think kids need time and attention and discipline. And I think a lot of kids are crying out for that. I think people need to go back to the old way rather, yeah, than, you know, trying to put labels on kids all the time.
Right, so while we're at it then, okay, if we're not going to generalise, I'd like you just to tell me, because you've worked in boxing for many years and in wrestling and stuff like that, without giving any names or anything like that, have you ever known a naughty boy or a naughty girl be turned around by things like boxing or martial arts or just general physical activity?
Plenty. I know some good lads here now who've been with us over the years, who've got their own companies, their own business, they're earning good money, they've got their own families, their own kids, and if it weren't for doing that I think they'd probably tell you they'd be on a different path. So, categorically.
So what is it about physical activity that can channel that, as you say, what might be going down the wrong path to the right path?
I think it's the discipline and the challenge. It's focusing someone with a challenge. Everyone's got to have a challenge in life, and I think that, you know, the sport is a discipline and a challenge. And unlike school, it's something they want to do. School, sometimes they feel that they have to go there, so they rebel against it. Whereas, you know, in the club, it's kids that want to be there. But the span of attentions, I'm always very keen on what their diets are, and relating to diets, to the sweets that they eat, to the additives in the sweets that, you know, make them hyper. And you notice that when you're working with kids. So, you know, that's why I'm always keen on you know, the diet issues with kids. But just on a side point, Andy, what I was going to talk about,
just balancing the phone while I look.
I think it was the first day of school at Ballacameen, and I don't know whether any other teachers, any other parents have got stories on this. The kids done a mock-up of a mass shooting event where all the kids had to hide under the desks. And this was on the first day at Ballacameen. Now,
is this true?
Well, this has come from a parent who's obviously brought it from the child. So I'm just wondering if there's any other stories. I believe there's a parent has quoted on Facebook about this. But I'm just wondering, I'm going to put it out there, whether, A, this is necessary on the Isle of Man, bearing in mind that the amount of mental health issues we have with children these days and trying to cope with them, are we heading down the right road by doing this, if this is true? And I don't know whether any other schools have done this, and where this narrative has come from. But again, it links into, you know, like the mental health issues of putting this stuff in children's minds, of this type of stuff, on especially where we live. So maybe just might open a conversation, Andy, if other parents know of anything that's going on.
Okay, all right, have a good weekend, Joe, and thanks for
Take
calling.
Take care, Andy.
All right, 27 minutes before one. Do you know anything about this? Joan said it was on Facebook. Preparing or considering the possibility of a mass shooting? Well, if you know anything about it, do get in touch. I've got to say hi, by the way, ship ahoy to the motorship Europa, anchored in Douglas Bay at the moment, one of the Hamburg Hapag-Lloyd cruisers, to the captain, the crew, the officers, and all the passengers coming to the Isle of Man today. Welcome.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain, keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again. Spectrum Windows, quality through and through, great work guaranteed to you. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows.
All right, Paul. You're looking relaxed. You finally booked that trip.
Yep, used some of the savings I locked in with Guernsey's Bank Skipton last year. Great interest rate, and they made it so easy.
Oh, Skipton. I've been meaning to sort mine.
Do it. You'll get proper customer service too.
With market-leading savings rates and service that puts people first, Skipton International is here to help you feel secure, whatever you're saving for. For details on all of Skipton's savings products, call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com today. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
25 to 1, Friday lunchtime on the Isle of Man, and Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just listening to the Colony saga, one thing, we keep hearing that it's kids, children, but Corney is not the place where you can get up out of the house and just stroll to. It's quite a, you know, an area where it takes a considerable journey. So they must have travelled by car. So over the weekend, yes, when it was quiet, but somebody driving that car must have been 17,
yeah,
having passed that test. And then they would have a bundle with them, and there'd be peer pressure then. But they must have been not children, but young adults. So is this what's coming up through the system now? I'm not saying all of them are like that. There's a hell of a lot about that's brilliant. But they get down there, and they must have driven, because this is not the sort of thing half a dozen lads say, come on, let's go get the tram out to Corney.
Yeah.
But I know when the son-in-law and the grandson were over, and they've been several times, there's a lovely pool there, and they go dipping down that neck of the woods, and they'll drive out to it. But it's not a journey that you can make on foot comfortably. So it must have been a deliberate act going down to the beach,
yeah,
and then seeing the cottages and, well, being a stone beach, all the ammunition's there to put the windows through. So it's not a children thing that is, you know, the way that it's going out and about, it gives the effect that it's young children, but it's not.
Yeah.
It'll be young adults.
You can cycle there, though, can't you?
Oh, yes, but even then it's still a deliberate act. You know, because you've got a long way to go down from the main road down to the beach, and where the cottages, etc. And that's a lovely area down,
yeah,
there. I don't know if it's still owned by the same man who owns old Corney and Corney and Carnane up there and all. I can't remember his name offhand.
I think it's Mr. Whip.
That's it. Yeah, Whip the Barony.
Yeah.
That was the barony down there where he lived, down at Corney. Yeah, that's the man. But it's a lovely area, and only early on this season you heard people talking about how beautiful it was down there. So we get these idiots, and that's what they are. There's no polite way of saying it. Idiots. And they're hell-bent on destruction. But going back to our first call of Patrick, the ability to join clubs here on the island is, well, I should imagine, quite reasonable. Because, again, I mentioned about our great-granddaughter. She's heavy into football now. But when she was very young, she went to the jiu-jitsu. And she actually went away on competitions. And she was only, well, she's only eight now. So you can imagine she'd be about five when she joined this and totally enjoyed it. And also she was went down with Dot down there at the NSC for the cycling.
Oh, Tuesday and night it, at the cycleway with Dot Tilbury.
That's it. You can have a couple of hundred children down there. You know, but one of the things I have seen, and I find it sad, the children are going down, but then in quite a number of cases, they're not allowed to enjoy it. The parents are pushing them. And I've seen some down at these things where the children are crying because,
yeah,
you've got to do this and that. I saw one, he was only a tiny little fella, and his father was there having him doing exercises before he went cycling. You know, if you're going to go into these things, they've got to be able to enjoy them, not be forced into them. And it's what the parents want to achieve and what they want their children to achieve, and they're pushing them too much when they're too young. But Patrick's right in so much it teaches discipline, and that is very, very important.
Yeah.
But we've got a generation that's coming up through now whose mothers and fathers have not been any signs of discipline. They were allowed to do what they wanted. You hear them down, what would you like for your tea, dearly? And what would you like for the... You know, I don't mean be forceful with them, but
yeah,
there's no discipline in families now, hardly.
Mm.
And this is the problem. There's generations coming up through, and it's going to be difficult to go back to where we had respect.
Okay.
But these,
has the Camera Obscura finished now, Howard?
As far as I know, it's open this weekend.
Oh, right, okay.
Hopefully it is, anyway.
Well, but, it's going to be blowing a hoolie on Sunday, so maybe not.
Well, it was blown a hooly up there last Sunday too, but with it being down in the dip, it gets sheltered.
Right, okay.
You know, but yeah, well, I'll get in touch with David anyway, and so we square up on that. But yes, it's the parents just go easy on the children because they want to go down there to enjoy it. And as I say, with Dot, you can have up to a couple of hundred children down there, all different groups. Some of them, they're only on balance bikes and tiny things, but they're having a brilliant time, and they're learning how to collectively play together, and they're learning disciplines, which is very, very important.
Okay. All right. Have a good weekend, Howard.
And you. Thanks, Andy.
Cheers now.
Take care.
All
bye
right.
now.
It's 19 minutes before. I've got to pay tribute to Dot Tilbury and her Tuesday night sessions at the NSC on the what's now the Sir Mark Cavendish Raceway. Dot's been an absolute ball of fire for many more years than I'd credit her with. But she's that whole, and her bunch of volunteers down there at the raceway, absolutely sensational. As Howard said, sometimes there is a bit of vicarious behaviour, shall we say, from some of the parents, but the kids absolutely have fun there. It's finished now. It used to be on Tuesday evenings, but obviously with the weather turning, it's not on anymore. Regarding hedge and tree cutting, says Andrea, if it's previously been done by the DOI, surely they had budget allocated for it. If they're now passing responsibility to local authorities, will they also be passing over the budget or be giving the money back to Treasury, says Andrea? Very important point. Too many parents, says Marie, 785, too many parents want their children to be friends these days. Children need guidance on how to behave well. How many times do you hear somebody call their child mate? Tony's on now. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Right, well, I don't want to raise a furore, but I do know that when we talk about climate change, everybody goes round in circles and says we're going to save the world. So a few facts that actually are facts as opposed to me and an opinion. The climate has been changing for millions of years. I don't know if everybody knows this, but the Isle of Man, London, whole of Britain was covered in a mile of ice. Over 10,000 years ago in the last ice age, and that has since melted, and when it melted it filled up the North Sea, so the land bridge that used to exist between Europe and ourselves and the UK disappeared underwater. That's where Dogger Bank comes from, which was an island in the middle of it, in the middle of the North Sea, that is. Now we have a situation where we, the Isle of Man, are going to save the world. Well, I just find that asinine. It just doesn't make any sense. We don't have enough impact. And basically, what they're saying they want to do is just going to cost us huge amounts of money, with the outcome still being the climate's going to change. It's like long ago, somebody called Canute was told he could make the tide go back. That didn't work either. So my issue is, I don't have a problem with spending money to try and prepare for what's going to happen. And it will happen. You can't stop it once it's started. That's the cycle. And it may be influenced by humans. It may not be. I don't really think that matters. What matters is climate will change, whether you like it or not, and whether I like it or not, and whether the government likes it or not. But they've now got themselves locked into something that is based on false information, i.e. your report from your professor, which was, as has been mentioned, completely wrong. But we still carry on down the road that we're going to go net zero. Nobody even questions it in government, as far as I can tell. So either they're blind or they've got another agenda. And their agenda is to give money to people who can sell us carbon credits, because that's where the money is. It's not anywhere else. That's what climate change is about. It's not about saving the planet. It's about some very rich people selling carbon credits and us gullibly buying them and beggaring ourselves in the process. My issue is, prepare for what's coming. Stop building houses on low-lying land. stop saying we're going to stop the tide coming in. You won't be able to. It's impossible. Stop telling us all we need to spend money on rushing round and saying climate change is coming, we've got to stop something. Why don't they go ahead and clear the riverbanks out? Why don't they cut some of the trees down that's caused the floods? Well, you only got to look at Laxey. Did they actually learn anything? Built the bridge again, put a wall up, and that's it, it's done. That's not the solution. The solution is to go all the way up the river and clear all the debris and clear all the dead trees and the fallen trees. But if you try and clear a fallen tree or a dead tree anywhere, the forestry board will come round and tell you, oh, you can't do that. So what are they doing, really? They should be spending their money, our money, by the way, on putting up solar panels on every public building. That's the first thing. And they should be offering people the ability to put up solar panels and get a discount and take that back into the network, the electricity generated.
So you think that would be a better way of using the budget, substantial budget, for is to offer people a discount or possibly free solar panels, and certainly put solar panels on all municipal and government buildings?
Well, I think that's a good start as compared to running around saying we're going to go carbon neutral, because you can't. Physically, if you think about it, just take a step back and say, how are you going to do that? Has anybody actually told you how they're going to do that? Think about it. I don't believe anybody's actually said this is our plan. It's just a target. The plan should be to do what I've just said. What they're doing is saying we're going to decarbonise our electricity supply. How are you going to do that? Because everything that's in the electricity supply, steel, copper, wire, cables, you used some sort of energy to make that. Surely we were just barking up the wrong tree. We should just take a step back and say, right, we're never going to make that target, and I think they've already admitted that. But what they need to do is say, what can we do to make people's lives better and reduce the impact? Not stop it, just reduce the impact. Because you will not stop any climate change. It's far bigger than the government of the Isle of Man, despite what they all think.
That's interesting.
And it's far bigger.
Interesting you say that, because I got a message in from Deirdre, who said, it's a conceit to think that man can beat nature. Man has never, ever beaten nature, so there's no reason why we should beat nature this time. Saving the planet, or if you like, net zero, is virtuous, but will be ruinous for us, she says.
Very eloquently put, in my opinion. But I'm sure none of the government will make a comment. Maybe they will, I don't know.
Okay.
Do you think they will? I don't think so.
Well, who knows? But, I mean, the fact is, they will basically say, Tony, that this is in statute. This is their plan. It is the plan that everybody's voted on. When they had the election 4 years ago, everybody was as green as Robin Hood. Apart from a couple of MHKs, I think Mr. Right. Wallenberg and Mr. Peters were the only ones who didn't have green issues at the top of their manifesto. And they
okay, well, let me take one issue with you there, Andy. That's not a plan. It was a target that was thrown out, driven by a global initiative that we should get rid of greenhouse gases because we want to be able to move to electricity and then sell everybody, basically the ones who can't move to electricity, we will sell you carbon credits.
Right.
So it's this is global. It's not from here. And I understand they got caught up in it. I do understand that. But the fact it's in statute is that there's a target in statute. There's nothing else. They haven't said we're going to go ahead and take all electric vehicles and give one to everybody on the Isle of Man and take all their petrol cars off them.
Right.
That would be a plan. That would be a strategy. But they don't have either. Their strategy is we will reduce the use of gas and any sort of carbon amount in the systems and go ahead and make up the difference by buying carbon credits.
Okay. All
That's
right.
What it comes down to.
All right.
So anyway, what I wanted to say, Andy, was have a nice weekend. And I suggest we all start thinking a little bit further about history and the ability of us to stop global warming.
Right.
One other thing. Technically, this is just a one-off. Nobody in any of these carbon ideas talks about methane. Methane is worse than CO2 for global warming. But we can't control that because it comes out of volcanoes. So they ignore it.
All right. Okay.
So my suggestion is have a look at that. Good luck.
Good
have
to hear
nice
from
weekend,
you
Andy.
Too as well, Tony. Thanks for calling.
Hope we'll be here next week. Take care.
Ramsey Garden Centre for roses, shrubs, climbers, trees and perennials. Or solar lights, stone ornaments and bird baths. There's never been a better time to visit Ramsey Garden Centre. Open 7 days a week.
Blowing a hoolie out there.
Come in for a bravig by the fire. Just stocked up at Hearth. Never been so warm.
Who's that? Hearth?
Aye, they've got kiln-dried hardwood for me log burner. Colombian coal and smokeless ovals for the open fire. Kindling and firelighters all delivered. Great value too.
All goes up the chimney anyway, so I pay more. I'll be giving Hearth a call.
Check their website as well. Just order and they deliver.
For all your fire fuel needs, call Hearth on 560 577 or visit hearth.co.com.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Crewe's Bereavement Support Isle of Man helps children, young people and adults through one of the most painful times in life, when someone has died. We'll help you to understand what you're going through, develop coping strategies and find your own personal way through grief. Visit crews.org.im to find out more. That's crews.org.im.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
7 minutes before one, Tina dropped me a note just to say, it's a fact from the financial statements released by Manx Utilities, 40% of electricity generated in the Isle of Man is exported to the UK. Is that true, Tina? 40%. Surely if we stop this, we'll make a huge impact on emissions. Aside from the MUA, the MUA can run a monopoly without any competition and refuse to take any green electricity onto their grid. Is that true? Thank you, Tina. Good to hear from you. And I am not a marshal, says 501, but what a tremendous job the TT and MGP marshals do. Stuck out in all weathers. I don't think the government or the steam packet appreciates the work that they do. And the valuable time that they give up such that an event can actually take place. The steam packet should surely give the marshals a subsidised return ticket on the boat. Remember, no marshals, no TT. Is this something? Well, obviously, the steam packet's not in that business, but the government is in the business of running the TT, so surely the impetus should come from them. Thanks also to Carol, who just said, I agree with Tony. It's the difference between an aim and an objective. The government seems to have lots of aim, but not much of an objective. Climate change is really divisive, says Gaz 313. Which suits the government as people have something to distract them from the day-to-day mismanagement of our lives. A message in from, let me see here, you are, oh, good afternoon. As a landowner, just regarding hedges and trees now being the responsibility of the landowners, when the DOI dug our hedge out 2 metres wide to dump the water on our land because it was the easiest option for them, leaving us with a bill of over £10,000. Not to mention just leaving it open for all our livestock to just walk into the road. Maybe I should just block the hedge back up with soil. As it now not as it is not now belonging to me, obviously. Garth commissioners apparently are threatening legal action against somebody who voluntarily cleared fly-tipped rubbish and maintained and neglected DOI land. Clarkey says he criticises the plan to move the senior TT race contingency to Sunday, calling it unfeasible due to volunteer shortages and UK marshal availability. Suggests we should stick to the Friday and Saturday instead. For the cost of, this is Shane, for the cost of £500,000, every household should be equipped with a small solar setup, significantly improving energy efficiency over current methods. And Anthony, who messaged us from Runcorn in Cheshire. Hello, Anthony. Schools should prioritise sports and extracurricular activities over academics to instil discipline and respect in young children. Whether or not you'd actually get the teachers or, more importantly, the unions to agree that. Brian, again, slamming Cura over saying that Tesco had been allowed to monopolise food supply, hurting local producers. And Tina said, basically, 40% of electricity is generated by them. Now, remember, on Tuesday, Jane Paul Wilson is here on Tuesday with Dan Davis. Jane Paul Wilson, the Minister of Justice and Home Affairs. Dan Davis is her chief officer. If you want to get a message in before then or take a chance on the day, the email address is maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682-631. That's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Have a great weekend.
W-I-N.